Hello everyone, welcome to the round four roundup reaction, which I didn't think was going to be happening, but we made it home in time. Still stands that I didn't get to watch a few of the games, so there'll be a few things that we are talking about that I haven't really referenced or watched yet that I need to kind of go back and do my homework on and watch some highlights, but I couldn't leave you guys hanging. I don't own Nico Hines. I'll put that out there at the beginning. People thinking I wasn't trying to stream because I don't own Hines is rubbish. I'm always going to be here if I can be, irregardless of what I score. We're all here to share the pain if you're a non-owner like me, or the extreme joy if you are an owner, which is about 45% of you guys are owners out there. Lots of people captained him this week as well. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I've only just gotten home as well. I've just wolfed down some food. I can't even like think of a poem. Gazaraki's asking for a poem already. Can we do an on-the-spot poem for Nico? Oh, God. I don't know. The injured calf was not what we needed. A game against the Dragons. The warning was heeded. 149, that bloody Nico Hines. There you go. There's a little poem for you. I just legit thought of that on the spot. There you go. Any Nico Hines owners, and if you're a member of the channel, just spam those what a man emojis, king, crown, whatever you want. If you're a Hines owner, you can definitely brag, for sure. I don't feel bad about bragging. This is the weeks in Supercoach that you live for. The wet hair prince, as Clem Cassidy would say, comes out and absolutely kills it. Like, just what a performance. It was unreal. Dragons conceding 40 points again. But yeah, it was all about Hines, right? Didn't even play the last 6 minutes. Thank God he ended the suffering early for us, Craig Fitzgibbon. But the damage had been done. The damage was done. I saw he was 67 at halftime. I thought, okay, it was 12-8. It could go two ways. Yeah, he could go quiet and end up on 90. I thought ending up on 90, I was like, I would be okay with. Then he just absolutely exploded. 149 points is huge. And he's done it time and time again against the Dragons as well. So fair play to anyone who, you know, went with Hines this week. Didn't end up doing it myself. And if you captained him as well, obviously, you know, with every other popular player like Turbo, Harry Grant, Latrell, not really doing too well. You know, the next highest is probably Val Holmes with 70. You know, Hines captainness have absolutely smashed it, right? So a massive change in rankings there for you guys upcoming. And of course, most likely someone who's Captain Hines is going to win this little Supercoach hat if you got the highest score this week in the Mind Talks group. So congrats to whoever that is. Don't know yet. We'll find out tomorrow when the updates come through. But absolutely amazing. Can I end the stream there? I think that covers the round off, right? I don't think we need to really talk about anything else. I will quickly say hello to everyone in the chat. Sorry I had to start a little bit late as well. I was literally just guzzling down some dinner. To Moz, Cody, Shades of Red, Luke, Maggie May, Harry, Taryn, Mark Lawless, Daniel, Jesse, Matt Sherwood, Graham, Don, Mudcrab, thank you all for joining. There's plenty of you out there as well watching. There's 104 of you watching, which is fantastic. So if you enjoyed that little poem, and if you, whether or not you had Hines or not, just give the stream a like. You know, like the stream if you're in pain, or like the stream if you're in complete ecstasy. One of the two, doesn't matter. In terms of how I scored, so 1069, which I think coming into this Sharks game, I was looking at, it wasn't fantastic, but it was okay. Now that's obviously looking awful. 1069 in terms of the points. So like a few players did well for me, like Fifita, but I captained Grant. Obviously that did not work out at all. Scored like 38 points. The alternative to Grant was probably going to be maybe Cleary. He scored like 81. So look, it was like a 40 point swing, but like at the end of the day, it's obviously not going to compare to like anyone who went with Grant. Oh, sorry, who went with Nico Hines, obviously. So anyway, that's that. I think, you know, the biggest question is obviously now going to be like, do we get Hines in next week for anyone who doesn't own, right? Because, you know, I think the mentality for people who didn't get Hines was like, you want to wait and see how he goes. If the calf is still being an issue, and if he scored low, you'd feel more comfortable not going with him again, knowing he's got the bye in round six. I think that's just been completely blown out of the water. The way he looked was amazing. I'll be shocked if Hines is not the most traded in player next week, put it that way. I'll be honest. I'll probably try to find a way to get him in because obviously emotions are high. He's just absolutely killed it. Warriors at home next week. Like, Warriors have been good, but they still did concede some points to the Bulldogs. Like, there's every chance that Hines goes big again, right? So I'm kind of thinking, like, yes, you could maybe, you know, original thinking was wait until after his bye and then get him. But if you you've just seen what he's done. And if he goes 100 plus again next week, for example, and you don't own him again, you're going to be absolutely spewing about those points that are missed out. And I know the buy is coming up as well, but his price is probably, like, there's obviously now a chance that his price will go up instead of going down as well. And I feel like there's a couple of cheapies who we can maybe target next week. So in terms of like what I was thinking of, how if I had to get to Hines next week. So obviously my trades were Teddy to Walsh, which worked out. Walsh scored 84. And I did Dewey to Dylan Brown, which was like a 4-point difference. But I'm happy with Dual Bags. I'll lock him in. I wanted him from round 6 anyway. So what I was thinking originally is like, okay, if I need to bring in Hines next week, how would I have to do it? You know, most likely the way that I would probably do it. So Sonny Luke only scored 9 because he got a failed HIA. And so he, even though his minutes weren't looking good, so that kind of maybe puts me off going Marnie down to him. So one way I have thought about it is, so Schuster didn't do amazing, 21 points he scored. But if we want to bring him in as a cheapie, I've considered, I think, Niokoro, I think I'm fine to remove because he scored 47, didn't play the full 80 again. Cam Murray, I know a lot of people are going to be thinking about selling Cam Murray. This is one of those games I definitely do want to go back and rewatch. If I can't watch the whole game, at least I'll watch the highlights. I was only able to watch the last like 10 minutes when it got towards golden point. But you know, I was reading a lot of people saying that Murray is being the distributor, you know, kind of being like the Gerber role, I guess, of old, where he's passing the ball a lot, not taking a lot of runs himself. And I think, you know, I want to kind of make my own opinion as well, how Murray looks as well. Definitely he's, you know, one I think a lot of people are going to be selling. I'd be interested to see what Teague Wilton scored because I know, I think he was going quite well from memory. Yeah, 69 points. And I don't think he really got any attacking stats, did he? No, all in base stats, really. He did get a line break, but 59 in base is obviously fantastic and pretty cheap price. And, you know, you're getting the same output from T. Wilton as what you get with Cam Murray. So I know that was a move that a lot of people were looking to do this week. So, yeah, I think that's one, you know, trading Murray down there. The second row forwards are doing well. You know, Katoa from the Storm had another good game. I'm pretty sure he was scored in the 70s. Where is he? Yeah, 96 points. There you go. So, yeah, obviously, the 50-50 of Katoa versus Niokoro from the start of the season, not great. I do still like the look of Katoa. And so he's someone, you know, if you went Murray down to him, that's probably your money from Sam Walker up to Nico Hines. And then you can obviously look at someone like Jackson Ford. He looked pretty good again against the Bulldogs today. I'm fairly certain he played the full 80 because I know Niokoro went off for a HIA. I was able to listen to this game on the radio at least. So I was kind of up being able to keep tabs to an extent. So I know, I believe Jackson Ford did play the full 80 minutes. Going to have a quick look here. And I know he bombed a try as well. Josh Adokar passed it in his own field area. And, you know, Jackson Ford just had to put his hand down on the ball and he would have got an extra 17 points for free. But he missed out. And so, yeah, he did play the full 80 minutes, Jackson Ford. So I think there's a couple of cheapies there in Schuster, Ford, you know, maybe going down from like Murray to a mid-range second row forward. There's going to be a few ways, I think, to get up to Nico Hines next week. So, yeah, and Fifita obviously scored very well. I haven't been able to watch any of, so I want to go and watch the highlights again. But, you know, I know Khan Pereira, 117. I'd be surprised about many people if they played him, especially away to the Cowboys. But, I mean, if he did, well done. You know, he's obviously... At least he's going to make a lot of money. You know, of course, I posted that meme on Twitter. The guy smiling at his screen in pain. But at least we're going to make some money out of Khan Pereira. But happy enough with Fifita as well, doing quite well with 96. Did Dewey outscore Dill Bags? No, I think Dewey ended up on 43. What is he on? Oh, he's on... Sorry, he updated to 54. You're right, so I didn't realize those updates came in. So, yeah, so Dewey has outscored Dill Bags by about, like, 7 points. So, obviously, that didn't work out in the end. I think if you own Dewey, you're probably looking to keep, unless he's maybe your ticket to Nico Hines via duels, then maybe he's someone you move on. But, yeah, obviously, that move hasn't worked out, I guess, on face value, but I'm happy enough with Dill Bags from round 6 onwards anyway. And, yeah, so, obviously, I think if you have... Dewey, yeah, you're probably okay with him for now, maybe. Second forward again feels like an interesting spot. I'm looking here in like Isaiah Papali'i, 70 points. I'm pretty sure no attacking stats. John Bateman obviously got that try assist, so 95 points for him. Katoa featured well in this game with 96. Of course, Will Woolbrick scored 88 points when none of us played him. Just exactly how it was going to happen. Who else was there? There was another second row forward I wanted to mention. Oh, yeah, Ryan Madison in the first game. Pretty much all in base stats, 74 points. Like, just came out and straight away showed how he can be a proper, like, gun in Supercoach as well. So I think, you know, I would expect a lot of people to be selling Murray soon, especially if it continues at his current rate, because, you know, you've got a lot of other options out there who are scoring well, much cheaper than him. And a lot of people are going to try to jump on Hines this week, and I think it's fair enough given what we've just seen. And the matchup is still good. It's Warriors at home. Sharks have just looked incredible, right? But yeah, anyway, let's read a few questions from the chat. I feel like that's my little rant over. Yeah, it's a lot of big scores. Like, I mean, in terms of a pass score, I think it's really difficult to say this week. You know, I scored 1069. I think you're going to see a lot of people who didn't own Hines. And, you know, I think there's a few categories. You have the people who didn't own Hines, who probably captained one of Turbo or Grant, like myself. They're probably going to be around the mid-1000s to maybe 1100s. You've probably got a few extra people who are around the 1100s, 1150s, who maybe owned Nico, maybe didn't captain him. Like, I can see Daniel Steer here saying 1167 with Nico, but he captained Grant. And then I think people who captained Hines are going to be in the 1200s, potentially even pushing 1300 as well. So there's a very big spread of points this week, obviously. But I think if you scored like 1100 plus without Nico, I think that's probably a good week. Obviously, missing out on Nico's points is obviously not ideal, though. So, yeah. So I think that's kind of the big spread of points this week for sure. So yeah, we'll see. We'll try to bounce back, but not ideal. Obviously not going with Hines, but we'll keep pushing hard. Mudcrab says won a big six leg multi with Sharks and $5.05 anytime try scorers and one for the Knights game. $5 into $12.78. Mudcrab, mate, that is an unreal multi. Well done. Congrats on that one. With Luke, yeah, Sambo saying with Luke Cashden, so that's Sonny Luke's Cashden being stunted now because that load score. Yeah, selling Murray is probably a more logical path than Nico. It probably is. I think there's a lot more replacements available at second row forward as well. Kalomatungi as well, as Deezer said, yeah, he scored 71 points, I'm pretty sure, this week, so he had a pretty good week. 70 points it was. My front row forward again not doing the best. I think Christian Walsh got 55, Oichikamani like around the 40s, which is kind of, I kind of knew what I was signing up for when you're paying for them. But I think someone like Payne Haas killed it again with 74 points. I'm curious to see what Joe Tarpany scored. 66 points, so an 8-point difference between the two of them. I don't think Tarpany had any attacking stats. No, just kind of all in base stats here. 33 points in runs, obviously that's quite a lot. So yeah, I think if you went one of Tarpany or Haas, you've done fine for this week. Haas did look good again. Someone saying Hines had an ice bag on his leg, is there any news on that? I think I read up earlier in the chat, Dale, that it was just like a slightly sore groin, but apparently it wasn't anything too major. Lockie Miller also had a good week, yeah, so he's goal kicking as well, so I think he ended up on like 87 points, so obviously he's done very well the last couple of weeks. Goal kicking as well obviously makes him very, very interesting. And yeah, he's just a like really good worker. Like even in the first 2 weeks when he didn't get any tries or attacking stats, he still was getting about 50, 52 points. So he's been pretty solid for anyone who did start with him. I think we are starting to see a lot more options coming out. And I think this is for sure the first kind of, I think, high scoring week that we're seeing. You know, lots of, you know, obviously the Hines captain is obviously going to have huge scores this week. But yeah, no, obviously massive congrats, I think, to any Hines owners and captains out there. Just, these are the kind of weeks that you live for in Supercoach. What are you doing with Hines next week? Are you bringing him in, Aman? Yeah, look, it's very easy to be like very reactionary at this point in time, just seeing what happened, like just an absolute demolition job. If I'm being honest, yeah, I'll probably will try to get to him, I think. I didn't boost this week, so I still have only used the one boost, and yeah, it probably is partly FOMO as well, right? The fact that he went so big. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I feel like if he had scored 90, obviously it wouldn't have been great because he still would have scored quite well. But you can kind of stomach it a bit more and be like, yeah, you know what, 90 points, we're not unexpected, but he's not, like, punished you. getting 149 is a humongous score. And so, like, and especially when this week the popular captains of Grant and Turbo scored like 38 and, or like they both scored like 44 points. So the swing is huge. And so I think I've got Sam Walker currently as my other halfback, so I think he's got a pretty tough run as well. I'm going to want to get in Hines anyway, basically around 8. So I'm kind of thinking now, just make the moves now, just lock him in there. Hopefully he does well against the Warriors. And look, he does have the bye round 6, which isn't great, but we've got depth hopefully to cover. We've got Cleary in round 6 that we can play as well. Yeah, Matt said nightmares of Cleary last year, deja vu. It is. And this is the type of, like, these are the type of edges you need to get in the head in the rankings, right? Like, getting on these high-profile gun players the week or 2 weeks before everyone else does. If you can cash in, like, an extra 150, 200 points, that is, like, it firstly, you cash those points in before anyone else, but it also then say it gives you the opportunity to do trades when everyone else is going to be doing trades to get in the guy that you already own. It kind of just puts you ahead a little bit. So, yeah, no, I look, Ian, to answer your question, yeah, I will probably try to get Hines this week, I think. Thoughts on To'o to Mazu? Yeah, I think with Mazu, it just really depends that will he keep his starting role. He obviously did very well. I think he scored a double this week. Yeah, 117 points. So he's absolutely smashed it. You know, obviously anyone who was having him in their preseason team is filthy, because this is what you got Mazu for. And then he wasn't named round one. People had to take him out. And now he's come back and he's scored absolutely massive. I mean, To'o, yeah, look, it was a tough game against Parramatta. Weren't a lot of opportunities, I think, for him during the course of the game. He really just got his points in work rate, To'o. Same with Taruva. Like, Taruva was, like, Moses was only kicking to Taruva. So he was taking run after run after run. So, yeah, Taruva had 42 points in runs. To'o had 36, but he had a few more tackle breaks and tackles, I think. So it's a tough one because, you know, 57 points is not bad when he's got no attacking stats. So it's kind of hard to say, like, oh, do you sell To'o? And this is the thing is, like, sorry to go on a tangent, but just on center wings, like, I was definitely eyeing up Garrick into this coming week versus the Knights. I think Hines has completely changed those plans now as well, because any money that I was going to try to free up, like, before Hines absolutely exploded, I was going to do probably, like, one of Niokore down to Ford, maybe another second row Ford down to Schuster. And then I was probably going to do one of my center wings, maybe like Hammer, to Garrick. Hammer scored 60 points with the try, but, you know, otherwise looked pretty involved still. Had some good moments. I think I'm happy. I think he's looking okay. I know he's been very try-reliant, so I will probably trade him out soon. But I do kind of think Hines might be the priority this week instead. So I think any center wing, like Miller would like, Garrick I would like. Yeah, I think that's kind of just blown all those plans out of action, given what Nico's done tonight. How good is Karaz? Yeah, Karaz, look, I'm happy enough with Karaz. Obviously, he scored the try, 70-something, 78 points. Great. Sean Johnson, though, by the way, looked awesome. But yeah, no, Karaz is unreal. Really good work rate. So one try and he's getting close to 80 is fantastic. So happy enough with Karaz. Jason is saying, hey, just traded in Reynolds. Should I trade him out for Hines? Yeah, I think so. I think so. Like, I mean, just... like, just seeing what Hines did, like, he was so good, it was crazy, like, no, like, absolutely zero doubts or concerns about a calf, like, he just looked so good, he was running the ball a lot as well, just all over the park, setting up everyone, it's just ridiculous, like, they look so good. Now, I think we should also factor in, like, the Dragons weren't amazing themselves, like, they were good at halftime, but they just kind of capitulated. Like, I'm kind of thinking, if Hines scored, like, yeah, 90 points, would I try to be buying him next week? If I'm being honest, probably not. I probably wouldn't be trying to buy him next week if he scored 90. I think if he scored 110, 120 plus, then I'll be like, yep, I think so. The fact he's gone 150, yep, I'll probably get him. But yeah, in terms of the Reynolds, yeah, I would say, yeah, I think just try to make that move to Hines, I think. Because this is a thing now as well to think about it, not to make the stream only about Nico Hines, but this week he probably will be the most traded in player. And so this week it's a little bit easier to take if you're a non-owner, because yes, he was kind of the more popular traded in players, but still relatively ownership wise it wouldn't have been like a really, really big part of the game in terms of the population of players. I'm wondering if I can actually see how many people traded him in this week. So I'm wondering if that selections is pre-trades in or post. In any case, let's say hypothetically his ownership was 10% this week. I'll have to double check that. But like next week, his ownership is going to skyrocket to like 20 something percent plus. And so if he did well again and he didn't own, like that's going to hurt a lot. And also he will be probably captained as well to an extent. So yeah, his points could hurt even more next week if you don't have. So I think it's kind of one of those ones as well where you trying to antipod players like Hines is very tough. It's like why, like even with Cleary, I want to stick with him because like I know in any given week, Cleary can also go 150, right? And he's just that highly owned. So yeah, I'd probably try to be moving your backup halfbacks and just try to, just because you know Cleary Hines is probably going to be the combo that you're going to want to run long term. Just maybe just lock it in. So Dale's making a good point that Warriors are the tied second in the point. Let me repeat. Warriors are tied second in the league for points allowed. So he's holding off on Hines till after the bye. I think that's fair. But even then, like, this is the thing. The Sharks had only scored 12 points at halftime. And Hines was on 67. I was like, what the hell? I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like, he's just so involved, right? Like, 67 points when he only scored 12. So, I'm thinking of a situation where, like, yes, maybe the Warriors concede only 18 points, but there's a good chance Hines has got, like, two try assists and a just involvement in general, and, like, he's just pumped out 85, 90, even when his team hasn't scored a lot of points. Like, he's just that type of player, the accumulator, as we always say. So, like, Dale, like, good luck to you if you're not going with him. I wish I could be as, like, kind of, like, committed to the plan of, like, yeah, no, wait to him till after the bye. I don't think I've got the stomach for it. Like, I want to enjoy this game. Like, I will sleep better knowing I've got Hines against the Warriors rather than trying to death ride him again when he could potentially do well again. I don't know. 13.1% owned, 5.9% captained. Okay, so it's 13% owned, which is not small. It's a decent amount of players, but that 13% is going to go to like 30 next week, I reckon. Rod is saying, shouldn't be too conservative is what I've learned. I think that's fair. I mean, it's always very 50-50. Like, you know, there's always an instance where these are the big decisions that always crop up. Like, do you wait or do you go for the player? And I'd probably say, yeah, maybe more often than not, we probably do tend to be overly conservative. Like, you know, like, oh, he's playing the last game. Is there a chance that he's out? Like, you know, does he not look the best? But I guess, yeah, it probably hurts more, like, getting on the player. Oh, sorry. It probably hurts more not owning the player than it is getting on them and them not doing well, for example. So, yeah, I think maybe when the opportunities are there, like, especially with these gun players, yeah, try to take them. And, you know, obviously you can get these rewards like so many people have this week. So, yeah, so Alex has mentioned something about a controversial call in the Manly Rabbitohs game. Now, this it's something about a turbo pass. I missed that, to be honest. I'll need to go back and watch that, Alex, so I can't really comment, unfortunately. But, yeah, I'll definitely obviously take a look at that and see. But dodgy rest calls don't sound that surprising, I guess. There seem to be a few every week. Even like the one, for example, I was only able to listen on the radio, the Warriors Bulldogs game for the first half. For the whole game. So I missed the incident with Adam Pompey as well. Like, what was it, a strip or was it a knock on? And then I know when Josh Adokar like literally scored straight afterwards as well. So if that's another one as well that's had some controversy and I haven't been able to watch it. Tyler says, captain on Hines all week, got 1243 before updates. Tyler, congrats, awesome stuff. Yeah, 1200 score this week is obviously amazing. And Rod saying, let's be honest, that 902 price tag did make us think twice, even 10 times. Yeah, I guess that's another thing as well with, like, you know, the price tag was also a factor. And, like, if it did went wrong, you've, like, kind of made all these moves to get this guy who's really expensive, and then you've had to maybe change it again later or something. It can set you back. So, I mean, it's always easy to look on these things in hindsight and say, yes, the right move was to get Nico. But I think it's trying to be, like, yeah, trying to kind of get better at the decision-making process and when to identify, like, yes, this is the right time to jump and stuff. Like, I know the Whisperer, for example, I think he was very, very confident. Like, yep, I'm going for him. I'm going to captain him. And it's obviously worked out well. Anyway. And, like, yeah, Captain Harry Grant, which is, like, I feel for the people who this week, like, boosted to get in Harry Grant, and he was our most highly captain player. Like, I was standing here saying, yeah, get in Grant, do what you can, he's going to tear up the Tigers, and it just didn't happen. Now, I feel okay about it because I captained Grant last week for his 105, so I was able to get some points from him. So obviously this week was disappointing, And like he was just passing the ball, like he wasn't running it really at all, just shoveling it onto the to Pezzet and Munster. So it wasn't really the week. There were some stats going around as well that the Tigers are actually quite good at defending the hooker position. So yeah, this might be something I need to. There's a couple of Twitter accounts actually that have started posting threads about teams and where they can see the most Supercoach points, or like just like in general across the park, what's the average that they can see to certain positions, which is quite helpful. You know, because actually the Tigers did come out and that they don't really concede too many points to hookers. So that's probably something that where I can, I'll try to share a bit more as well. I try to do it anyway on the captaincy section, but maybe we'll try to integrate that a little bit more. It does seem to obviously have a bit of weight to it. Tyler says, thanks, bro. I was on roughly 860, 900 points before Wilton and Hines with captain followed you all summer. Oh, Tyler, appreciate it. But look, I'm really happy for people who did not take my like non-Hines advice. I'm happy if people do well. Don't get me wrong. Like a couple of people like, oh, you're not doing the stream because you didn't bring in Hines. Like, mate, at the end of the day, it's a game. It's fine. Obviously, it hurts a little bit. But like if the followers are doing well and people are doing well, like generally, I'm happy to see that. So yeah, don't get it twisted. Like I'm able to shake this off like fairly quickly. I'll just have to bring him in next week and we'll all enjoy his points together then. Benny G is saying, Nico is the true Fresh Prince. Benny, I need to bring that that meme on screen. That was unreal what you posted. I have to share it with the YouTube universe. It was amazing. Where is it? There's a lot of replies. I tweeted out, like, you know, Hines owners and captains, show yourself. Lots of people posting, which is good. I'm good. Lots of people bringing him in and are obviously very, very happy. So their weekend has been made. Here we go. If you don't mind me, Ben, I'm going to just have to bring it up. Hopefully you guys can see that okay. That's Benny G having a great time with Nico and Josh Schuster on the roller coaster. Absolutely killing it. Yeah, Benny, I had to show that to everyone because yeah, it was amazing. And I'm starting to get a little bit more into the memes. Oh, I mean, I always loved memes, but trying to share a few more memes as well, just make it a bit more lighthearted. Anyway, enough of that. Moz saying good attitude of mine, killing it in NRL fantasy, so that's how I'm coping. Yeah. And look, I think I was having an okay week. Obviously, the Grant captain did not work, but I was looking at other scores around me. I thought, oh, this is okay. Hopefully, Hines doesn't do too good and I'll be okay. Next minute, didn't work out. Oh, well. What can you do? Hey, man, Hines, am I right? That's it. This is why I had to do the stream as well, guys. I'm like, how could I not do a stream when Hines has just gone and absolutely smashed it? I thought it would be a disservice. So I was like, nah, stuff it. And I also thought the fact that I hadn't watched a couple of games, it won't matter because we're going to be talking about Hines probably most of the stream anyway. yeah, Benny G, look, I'm really happy for you as well because you're very bold and you do make the rogue moves, and it's good to see a good week. You've seen a 15-30. Wow, that's huge. That player, they must have captained Hines. They must have played Khan Pereira. They must have had like Eli Katoa and played Warbrick and all of those guys. And maybe a Marzu or something. 15-30, crazy. How much do you reckon Hines gets boosted? Oh, okay, so in terms of updates and points, yeah, let's see. Is he on 3 try assists or 4? 3 try assists. I'm just wondering if... So there was that try that he didn't make the line break. He put in Nikura through for a line break, and then Nikura passed it back to him. And then Hines offloaded it either back to Nikura or someone else. It's hard to keep up. They scored so many tries. I'm not sure if that one has been paid a try assist. I wonder if he maybe gets that, or maybe he just got paid the try contribution. Look, I'm sure that he'll probably have a few extra like tackle busts and stuff in there. So if I was guessing, like I'd think it'd only go up. I wouldn't be surprised if he went up to like 155, if not 160 or something. Like, yeah. He could have absolutely, and oh, I'm just looking at that stat line. Just the accumulation of points, right? 30, like 3 try assists, 3 try contributions, 5 goals, 20 tackles, 2 tackle busts, 2 forced dropouts, 4 line breaks, ineffective offloads, like runs. Just, this guy, man, it's just unreal. Unreal. Ugh. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Heatwave is saying, can you show your team? Yeah, sure thing. I'll show you my team. So, yeah, that's my team. So, obviously, the moves didn't quite work out in that Dewey actually outscored Dylan Brown. But, look, Dylan Brown's my boy. Love him. So, I'm happy enough with him. I did see a comment earlier saying Val Holmes out. To be honest, like, I feel like Val Holmes is not the biggest issue in my team. Like, he scored 70 this week, scored a try. Like, he's doing fine. I'm happy enough with him. Who else is there? Tabuai Fadeau's been okay. So I played Tabuai Fadeau. I actually don't even know what Alamotti scored. So I'm just going to go back to the game day real quick. Because it was either Alamotti or Tabuai Fadeau. He scored 45. So it's worked out in the end, I guess, to play Tabuai Fadeau. Obviously, it would have been better to play Khan Pereira and Warbrick. But again, as Benny says, we're all masters of hindsight here. yeah, so I guess in terms of like how I'm looking to get Nico, so Moz has asked, how would I fund Nico? So Walker to Hines is about 300K. And I've got 58K at the moment. So I think second row forward is where I'm looking to maybe make a couple of moves. So Nia Corey has been fine, but I feel like I can get similar output going to Jackson Ford. And he's like, he'll probably be about 140K cheaper after price changes next week. So I think Nia Corey for me, he's been okay, but he's not done exactly what I would have hoped for. He's not even playing 80 minutes. He does seem to be playing about the 65, 68 minutes. So yeah, for me, Nia Corey could definitely be on the chopping block because I think I could either go to Schuster or I could go to Jackson Ford, who's looked quite good. Jackson Ford feels a bit more safer as a play, so I'd probably go down to Jackson Ford. That frees up about 140K. So then I'll have 200K left. So I will need to make, I will have to boost. And then if I wanted to make more money, maybe it's Cam Murray to Eli Katoa, for example. Unfortunately, Matt Dury, if he keeps coming off the bench, I know he looked good coming off the bench, but the longer and longer that he keeps coming off the bench, the more likely he's just going to become an AE nightmare. And the problem is that there's not a lot of good cheapy second row forwards, I think, to trade down to at this point. So Dury might just have to stay there. I missed the boat on the Cardi party. The Cardi party was the right option, but alas, we missed that one. So yeah, to be honest, it's probably going to have to be Murray. It could be Murray or Fifita. Fifita's got the bye next week, so that is obviously something to keep in mind. Is that round five, the Titans have the bye, so no Fifita. But I've seen enough from Fifita that I think I want to keep him. He's doing just fine. I don't think I need to trade out Fifita. So Murray's break even coming into this week was 115. Oh, he's going to leak quite a bit of cash. He's probably going to be about the six. If I had to guess, the 670, 680K. And Eli Katoa is going up again to maybe 500. So Murray down to Eli Katoa. So I'd probably have enough money doing Murray down to Eli Katoa and then Sam Walker up to Nico Hines. That might be enough to get it. If I needed to fund any more, Nia Corey out to Jackson Ford. I think we're seeing enough of the cheaper second row forwards that maybe someone like Murray isn't absolutely necessary at this point. So yeah, I'm still liking the look of Eli Katoa. I know he gets a lot of attacking stats, but I've liked what I've seen. I've mentioned it the last couple of weeks. I kind of do want him. Schuster, I'll be interested to see what his break even is because he only scored 21, but he does have a game against the Knights. So he could just be a good trade in this week to play, but also as a downgrade option. So I think those are probably the three I'd look at. Jackson Ford, Josh Schuster, Eli Katoa. In terms of going down in price, so that would get me up to Sam Walker, up to Nico Hines. And then I think at that point later, I would be trying to get back. I think I'd probably have to try to have a plan where I get money to either get to someone like Garrick or instead try to get someone like Madison, Kalamatangi, one of those other gun second forwards potentially, because the Eels do have a very good run coming up from round six onwards, and Madison had a great game as well. So it's annoying though, because the issue is that my front row forward is still a pain. So I do need to fix up that front row forward soon. Hopefully, I might just have to skip getting one of Haas or Tarpany. I might just have to wait until round nine. I think in round nine. When Welch has the bye, is probably when I'll probably look to switch him out for maybe like a Tarpany. At that point, Tarpany will play round 13 from memory, and I can just carry him through the origin period as well. So Benny's saying, Murray's playing as a ball-playing lock. It's ridiculous to not discuss moving him at this stage when so many cheapies are firing. Yeah, I think last week I was kind of willing to still give it a week. But now I think when the impetus is to try to get to Hines and free up money, and you're right, there's a lot of good second row forwards, as I mentioned. Ford will be going up in price. I think his break even was fairly low. It was 22, and I think he scored about 55. So he will go up in price, not a whole heap. He might get up to like 300k. So, you know, he's not going to be very expensive, but he just looks good. Like, he's playing the 80 minutes. It looks like they're actually using him in attack quite a bit. He does look to seem to get some attacking stats as well. And he generally just bombed a try. Like, he just knocked on the ball that was right there in front of him. He just had to press it on the ground, and he would have got an extra 17 points. So there is potential there for him to actually, you know, get some attacking stats as well. Warriors are looking good as well. I think Murray would. So to answer Moz's question and a few others, Murray is probably who I think I'd be looking to trade out. Someone's asking Murray to Fifita. I wouldn't be doing that, obviously. So with Fifita having the bye this week, I wouldn't be doing that personally. Olakuatu, Alex is saying, yeah, Olakuatu again is another option. He did score a try, I think, from memory as well. I really want to watch back that Rabideau's Manly game. So yeah, he scored 71 points. So yeah, he did have a try, and okay, so it was a try with no line break. So I'm going to assume it was like a intercept, or it was like a off a kick or something like that. But yeah, if you take away 17 from his 71, we're looking at about 54 points, which is pretty solid still. Okay, what else? What happened to Tohu Harris? Yeah, so Tohu Harris picked up right at the end of the first half. He picked up a knock to his knee. Now, he did go back out in the second half, but I think it kind of flared up a little bit, so I think they just took him off to be cautious. He missed playing like most of the second half, I think, from memory. So I think that's why he only scored like 36 points. He just played, he just got injured, basically. So unfortunately, yeah, for anyone who obviously picked up Tohu Harris recently, only the 36 points, so not ideal. Yeah, only the 44 minutes, yeah. So he played the full first half, only 4 minutes in the first half, in the second half, and then he had to get taken out. Aman, your front report isn't a pain, you mean? Yep, good old pain Haas puns. That's it. Reckon Tohu is out next week? Not sure, so obviously I'd highly recommend listening to NRL Physio's Magic Sponge podcast, which he usually does release every Sunday evening. I'm sure he's going to have a bit of some commentary on Tohu Harris and potential prognosis of injury. So I think we'll just wait until tomorrow and I'll have a listen to that. And see if we get any other further news. Steez is saying, yep, Murray got me Hines last week and I've never looked back. Mate, if you're selling Murray getting 58 points and the guy you're trading in that, or the guy that allowed you to got 149, I wouldn't be looking back too, put it that way. I feel like 5'8 is a nightmare this season. It is a bit, I mean, Dewey, like, I was happy enough with Dewey, but it's just this turf toe injury that kind of just gave me a bit of cold feet, no pun intended. So that's why I just moved him on for deal bags. I know it wasn't the right week to bring him in terms of the Panthers matchup, but 47 points, he did have that one try assist, but not much else. I did actually ask NRL Physio a question about Dewey. I wanted to, because he posts to ask for questions on his Patreon, and so I wanted to get some extra thoughts on Dewey as well, like just in terms of like people who didn't sell Dewey. I would like to get Physio's view on like how he thought he performed. Does he think that it's still worthwhile holding him and stuff? So I think we'll definitely touch on that a little bit more in this week's stream/video. But it's all about Hines, I think, this week, isn't it? Gazaraki says, Murray to Munster via Schuster and Drury to Ford. What do you reckon? I think that's pretty solid. Like, Drury, I think if he keeps getting named on the bench, he will have to be a trade out eventually. And if you can move to Ford, he looks pretty good for 80 minutes. We still haven't quite seen the full rotation with the Warriors, though. But obviously, Josh Kine was the 18th man. It does seem as though Ford, you know, he was out for a week and then he went straight back into the starting left edge spot, played the full 80 minutes. So it does seem like that is his spot. So I think he's pretty safe. And, obviously Munster is a solid option to get to as well via Murray. Although knowing that he doesn't, like, the Tigers was his real easy matchup, I would still be tempted to get to someone like Adil Bags instead. More of a longer term option where, like, from round six, Parramatta have a really good run of games, and he will cover all the major bye weeks. So maybe Murray to Doolan Brown instead of Munster, but I can see the appeal obviously with Munster. He's an out and out gun. Scope is saying, is Val Holmes a hold or a sell to Garrick? As I said, Holmes to me just doesn't feel like that big of an issue. Like, I would try to have both of them. Like, I'll try to add on Garrick to Val Holmes. I don't think you need to do Holmes to Garrick. Like, Holmes scored a try, 69 points. Garrick scored, like, what, 71 points. I think I'm happy enough with Val Holmes, I think, to be honest. He just doesn't feel like the biggest headache. I do prefer Garrick to Val Holmes, but I wouldn't think you need to make that switch personally. I think you just kind of stick with Val. I think the big scores will come. Are you happy with Marnie's 50s? If I'm being honest, not really. 51 points again. He's not obviously doing what we had expected in the first few weeks. So he's also one. I think his break even was, what was his break even? It was 49. So he's going to hold his value now. I kind of wish Sonny Luke had looked a little bit better. Because I think he would have been an easy trade down to him as well. So I still might do it in the future, but it might not have to be this week. He still might be good enough to hold, I think, at this point. Could Hopgood be a sell soon? What's his peak? Honestly, I have not entertained the thought of selling Hopgood. Like, I'm not even looking at him as like a cheapie who's rising in price. I'm just looking at him as a gun. Like, he had one off week last week, and then he's back to punching out 77 points. I'm curious to see what I don't think he played the full 80 minutes from memory, but he was offloading, just doing his normal stuff, making a bazillion tackles. He played 68 minutes, which is great. Like, honestly, I haven't thought about selling Hopgood, if I'm being honest. Thoughts on Zach Hosking? That's another, yeah, again, see, this is another second row forward. He looked really good. Like, he did score a try, but even without that try, he was on for like a 70 something, 80 points. Like, Hosking has got an amazing work rate. We saw that in the two games he played for Brisbane last year, when I think a lot of people jumped on him as a bit of a cheapie. I know I did. And he was like a very safe play. Like, you could easily get like 55, 60 points a week just in base. So if he gets named again, because Garner weirdly played only like 20 something minutes. I don't even know what happened there. If it was an injury or something, I haven't heard anything. If Liam Martin comes back in and then they keep Hosking and then Garner's out, like, yeah, Hosking could be one to go for. The reason I like Eli Katoa is that I just think in terms of minute security, I think he's just pretty safe. He's just locked in for 80 minutes, whereas I think a lot of the other second row forwards, like Hosking, for example, there still is a slight question mark about his certainty and place in the team. With Eli Katoa, it seems pretty safe that he will get the full 80 minutes. And yeah, and they're using him a lot in attack as well. His base and his work rate have actually been pretty good as well. So he's one who I'd still, I think, prefer. Sloan to Garrick or Sonny Luke to Cook? Oh, I would be doing Garrick, in my opinion. I know Cook had one good week, but he hasn't been amazing. He's been solid, but Garrick's just got that ceiling, I think. And so I think I'd rather do Sloan to Garrick. I've got Josh Hodgson. Who do I trade to? Yeah, that's another one. The backup hooker for the Eels. What was his name? Hands. Yeah, he looked really good. I thought he came on and kind of changed the game for the Eels basically as soon as he came on. So I think if you own Hodgson, yeah, you probably look to move him on. His price is obviously quite low at 418k. So I know Sonny Luke didn't really play the minutes, but he's really the only kind of cheap dummy half that you can go for. Apart from like upgrading to Grant, to be honest, I wouldn't be buying Reed Marnie now. Wade Egan should be coming back next week. I think he still has a fairly low break even, so he might be someone that you can look to move up to, maybe as another kind of bridge up to Harry Grant in the future, or you can just trade down to Sonny Luke. Those are probably the few options I think who I'd consider if you owned Hodgson. Let's talk about Carraz. Oh my lord, what a gun. Yeah, very, very happy. That's probably one of the few decisions I've gotten right so far. I think this year was just buying Carraz in that round 3 week, because he's just been really good ever since. And again, base stats were just ridiculous. So even without the try, he had 37 points in runs. He made three tackles, but he missed three tackles, so we won't count those. But he basically had 37 points in base. Then you add in 10 ineffective offloads, that's 47. He had 51 base power, which is just, yeah, crazy. Just his work rate is ridiculous. So, yeah, very, very happy with Karaz. What do I do? What's this question? Do I trade Cartwright or Hold? I think, so Matt is just saying in the chat that Sean Lane said he'll come back against the Tigers. So you've got another week of the Cardi party. Yeah, to be honest, I think keep for now. He's just doing well. Good work rate. They use him in attack as well. So I think, yeah, just keep riding the Cardi party until basically he gets replaced by Sean Lane. But that's not even a guarantee because Sean Lane could come back. Maybe they move Cartwright to the right edge and maybe they do use Madison as a middle. So I think you don't need to be selling Cartwright right now. He's doing just fine. And just wait and see what happens. I think maybe the week after next whenever Sean Lane comes back. Will Cleary's price come down a lot over the next couple of weeks? Want to trade Cherry Evans for Cleary? Yeah, it will probably go down quite a bit. So Cleary scored 77 and he had a break-even of 161. So he's going to be sub 800k, I would imagine. Cherry Evans, I can't remember his price. What's Cherry Evans priced at? 693, and he'll go up in price as well. So to be honest, he might only be like 80k off doing Cherry Evans to Cleary. So I think you might be able to get away with it. If Cleary's got another big break even, you might be able to do it in 1 or 2 weeks without actually having to fork out that much extra money. Okay, let's see, a few more questions coming in. I think we're at about 47 minutes and we'll probably wrap it up, I think, at about 9:30. So I might go for another kind of 10 minutes or so. And yeah, obviously, I'll put the audio for this stream back up on Spotify for anyone who wants to listen that way. Yeah, unfortunately, it's just going to be a lot of Nico Hines chat, but that's how it goes. That's how it goes. KP says, is there an award for your bench player scoring higher than those actually on the team? If so, I'd come close to it this week. Look, I think a lot, like, to be honest, I'm not even that upset about those bench points because, like, I'll be honest, I never considered playing Carpera or Warbrick. I know Warbrick maybe with the Tigers matchup, but we saw what happened last week against the Titans, so not for me. So I'm not even that upset that they scored well. I'm just happy that at least they're scoring points. They'll make some cash. But yeah, look, obviously I've had Carpera on the bench, Warbrick on the bench. I had Alamotti scored 45, which is okay. It's really the center wings, you know, the center wing roulette. So, yep. Still won the Podmasters Cup. I did. Tommy Sangster. I was up against Tom Sangster. So, that worked out. So, I won that game. So, I'll take that one for sure. For sure, I'll take that. Junior Paulo misses the next two games as well. Thinking Matt will move to the middle. Maybe front row forward duel. Oof. I don't see Matter getting front row forward duel, but my God, that would be tasty if you got front row forward as well. I'd just get him straight into my front row. I'd skip Payne Haas, I'd skip Tarpany, I'd just get him Madison. Gun. Absolute gun. You benched Hopgood as well. Okay. Nah, see, like, yeah, I wouldn't personally bench Hopgood. Like, he's a gun. He is a gun. Duong Gui says, who do I trade for Murray if I already have Katoa? You could just go all the way down to someone like Jackson Ford if you really want to make a stack load of cash. That might get you enough to go to Hines and maybe a Garrick as well. So, yeah, maybe someone like Teague Wilton. I know he's got the buy round six, but Teague has been looking really good too. So I think he's definitely a consideration as a mid second row forward. So I think, yeah, I would say Teague Wilton is probably your next best in the mid-range category. If you're looking to go down cheap, probably Jackson Ford. Ahmad, maybe you choose that topic, but when you consider the round 13 buyers, is it too early to think about it? It's not too early. It's never too early. I guess don't solely base trade decisions on if they play round 13 or not. I think it's like if you're generally in a 50-50, then maybe you do the round 13. Like I think, like I kind of said it, I think last week where if you were 50-50 on, say, getting Haas or Tarpany for Ruben Cotter, you would just have to, like, weigh up the fact that Haas is probably going to play Origin, Tarpany isn't. Are you fine with, you know, using a trade again on Haas potentially in the future, or is an absolute tiebreaker. You need to bring in just one of them and you can't split them, then Tarpany, I guess, because he plays round 13. I mean, it's only round... we're coming into round 5, so we're still like 2 months away from round 13. One thing I have learned over the past few seasons is that sometimes planning too far in advance for round 13 and the buys can actually hurt you, because you start bringing in like subpar players just because they play a 1 week extra, when the gun that you should have actually gotten has outscored them by like 100 points and it didn't matter in the end. So I think sometimes, yeah, we do probably place a bit too much weight on round 13. It is good to think about, obviously. But yeah, I think I wouldn't solely base trade decisions and stuff on that at that point. I own the Troll. Yeah, I didn't even speak about the Troll, really. Him and Turbo obviously scored both quite poorly this week. Only 34 points from the Troll, so he's going to hemorrhage a lot of cash. Again, this is probably an interesting one for people this week, is like, I thought if you own Latrell, you don't sell him for Walsh, because I do think Latrell is probably the second... he's probably in the top two fullbacks at this point in time, him and Turbo. But Reece Walsh has killed it again, 84 points. So I think people who didn't do that move are probably still going to be thinking about doing Latrell to Reece Walsh. So it's definitely an interesting one. I still don't know if I would do it, but like, Reece Walsh did obviously get a few attacking stats as well and did quite well to get 84 points. But yeah, he is frustrating. He can go massive in any week. They do have a good run coming up, the Rabbitohs. I think they have had the tough start to the season. He's still averaging around the 60s. Soon he's got... so he's got Melbourne at home, then Bulldogs at home. So the Bulldogs game is obviously going to be good. Dolphins game is probably going to be good. Panthers, Broncos, Melbourne. To be honest, their draw has not been... they've not been given a very kind start to the season, have they? They've been really given a lot of tough games, because Broncos are much better, Panthers are tough. Melbourne is still obviously, you know, a decent opposition. It's really from like round 14 or like round 11 when they got Tigers, it's like, yeah, this is probably when I'd want Latrell. But then all of a sudden he's going to go straight to Origin. So yeah, the thing with Latrell is that he can always go big in any given week. The draw doesn't really matter to him. But yeah, tough one, I think, if you haven't sold to Reece Walsh. I still think I would maybe not do it, because I still think Latrell will come good. But yeah, it would be frustrating to watch and see Reece Walsh keep killing it. Dolphin versus the Broncos, game of the round or what? I really enjoyed that game. I thought it was a great game. I thought the Dolphins were really competitive. Broncos just too good in the end. But no, really good game. For me, the Parramatta Penrith game was awesome. That was an awesome, awesome game, because the way that, you know, Cleary slotted that 2-point field goal to set it up for extra time. I thought that was the best game of the week. But you had so many good games. Dolphins, Broncos was good. Rabbitohs, Manly was really good as well. And then you had a masterclass from Hines. Like, I tweeted on the weekend, I'm like, put Supercoach aside, that the footy this season so far has been awesome. I think it's because the top teams have kind of reduced a little bit and the bottom teams have improved a bit. So it's just a much closer competition. Tom saying it all, they gave Reece Walsh the fake tri-assist. So in terms of that tri-assist that Reece Walsh got, there's a good... there was a thread going around on Twitter from, I think it was, so Supercoach Spy, SC Spy, who's on the SC Playbook website. He's actually quite good at deciphering when or when they shouldn't or should pay the try assist. He basically broke it down and said there's a certain, you know, it's like the starting position of where they come from that creates the overlap, and that's what Supercoach uses to pay the try assist. So even though he passed it quite early on, his positioning is what created the overlap. So that's, I think it seems as though that's what they do to credit the try assist. So I think based on his analysis and what others had seen, they did it consistently. It just visually looks very strange compared to, say, other try assists that aren't given, for example. But anyway, I know a lot of people just say, just do last pass. It's the easiest way to call a try assist, which it is. But that's the way that Fox will do it. And we just gotta run with that. Feeling terrible for a bloke in my league. He got Hines in this week, but didn't captain him. Scott, I wouldn't feel too terrible for him. There's plenty of us who didn't even own Hines. I would happily have Hines in my team this week and not captain him. I'd be not great, but like, I'd be pretty happy having Hines. So, nah, don't feel too bad for you, mate. I think he's doing fine. Cleary field goal, most clutch moment in the NRL regular season history. I mean, big claims. I mean, we'd have to go back quite a bit to try to make sure we're not just being, you know, having recency bias. I'm sure there's been other fantastic clutch moments in regular season. The fact that you said regular season is good, because if you're saying of all time, I was hearing all time. I was like, this is like, I'm not even having any of this. Did people just forget that Michael Morgan literally set up Carl Felt for a game tying try in the dying moments of a grand final? That's pretty clutch to me. Ranger says, reckon my 1567 will get top score. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, you're a good chance. That's a crazy score. How are we going for time? Okay, it's 9:30, so we'll do one more question. Let's see. Drury to Hosking. Oh, Ian, I think just wait and see for team list. We'll see what happens with that one, because there is still a risk with Hosking where he hasn't been nailed into the starting team. I think he did look really good, but just need to see the TLT. But anyway, I think we'll wrap it up there. We've just hit 9:30. Apologies if I wasn't able to get to everyone's questions, but any other comments or questions, do post them in the comment section of the stream below, because I will be able to take that into account when we do the stream this week for the preview. So as you're leaving, please do give the stream a like if you did enjoy it. Keep me in your thoughts. You know, I don't know Nicho Hynes, so it might not be the best sleep tonight, but Hynes captainers and owners, you will be sleeping peacefully tonight, knowing that you have that glorious man in your team scoring you a bunch of points. So we'll leave the stream on that one. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Have a good night, and catch you in the next one.